Radio Gorgeous. Listen anywhere, anytime. Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous Gossip. My name's Josephine Pembroke.
And I'm Donna Freed.
So first of all, we're going to talk about what's been happening to ourselves this week. And then we're going to talk about a subject which I really don't know about, but it's women in tech. And it's Lisa Devaney. And she's a New Yorker who's come to England and she lives in very trendy Hackney. And she knows a lot of women in tech. And so she's going to tell us about the kind of Silicon Valley revolution happening in England and how women are getting involved in it. And then, Donna, I'm going to find out from you style over 40 and whether you are ticking the right boxes, okay?
Uh-oh.
Right, so that's going to be fascinating. But first of all, let's talk about our week. What have you been up to, dearest Donna?
I went to a casting call.
What, you're going to be an actress?
An extra.
An extra? What, on EastEnders, love?
I don't know. They said it was for some film that's filming in the UK, and they needed... This was the whole funny thing. The casting call was for Americans and Canadians, and you just had to be over 18, no experience necessary.
Where did you hear about it?
A friend of mine, is an actress.
American.
Yeah, who's an actress and American, so she gets these things from Spotlight wherever actory people get their jobs from. But the weird thing was that we thought it was like possibly a terrorist plot, because why, if you're an extra, you know, and you're, it's
why
not
do you
a
need
speaking
an
role.
Accent?
Yeah, except it's not a speaking role. Yeah. Why did you have to be American or Canadian? In any event, we went along and
where did you go?
We went, it's at the American University, I think, in Kensington, just off Kensington High Street. And we filled in all this information, and then they took our measurements and our pictures. And when she took our measurements and then give your dress size, she said, oh, she thought I was lying about my dress size because I said 12. And I guess I'm closer to a 14 due to my measurements.
Oh,
oopsie bops.
No, in your head, I mean, I must say in my head, I'm a 12. That's what's important.
In reality. In actual clothing. The actual clothing that actually fits on my actual body. Oh. Apparently it's a 14.
Oh, that's so sad. Are the sizes the same in America then?
No.
What would you be called in America?
In American, I would be 12.
Oh, well, you are a 12. Oh, you are a 12.
So she said, oh, is that American?
Yes, exactly. Like, it's American
12. I'm a oopsie.
Yeah. So you still have no idea. It's still a mystery.
Yeah, exactly. But and apparently I'm signed up on this website for like a year. I can be called as an extra for free. I was like, okay.
And how much do you get a day?
140 quid.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
It's doubled. When I was an extra, it was £60 a day.
So there you go.
It's really good. Yeah. Well, I really hope you have a great career in film. And I'm very sorry you're leaving Radio Gorgeous, Donna.
I'm not going anywhere. So my size 14s are staying here. So what were you up to while I was on the casting couch?
It was my husband's 48th birthday. It's hard to remember the decades. 48th birthday. And I said to him, I'm going to give you a dinner party, because it's always him. He's like the one that always cooks socially. He's the one that always does it.
He's the show cook.
Yeah. But it was going to be me. So I thought, I've got to do something incredible. I was looking through my kind of contacts on my phone, and I suddenly saw Benji Goat Farmer. And I remembered this gay farmer that I'm friends with in Dorset, because I've got a cottage in Dorset. And I remembered him, and he said, Josephine, I've just gone into goat. It's doing really well. And so I rang him and said, look, I know it's Friday and the dinner party's on Tuesday, but can you supply me the goat for 24 people? And he said, well, actually, I've just slaughtered some, and it's hanging. So I'll send it over on ice packs.
And how did you prepare it? Because the only time I've heard about goat, you know, it's like a West Indian curried goat. You know,
I've now found out why it's curried.
Oh, really? It was not a success?
It's not that it wasn't a success. It was just that it wasn't as tasty. Anyway, we'll get down to that.
Nor tender?
No, it was very tender.
Ah.
Because they said it could be tough. So I marinated. The moment it arrived, it was on a Tuesday, the party. So the moment it arrived on ice packs, I soaked it in olive oil, red wine, rosemary, thyme, garlic, salt, you know, and kept turning it over and getting it room temperature. Then about 3 o'clock, I put it into the oven at 100 and thought, right, I'm going to cook it really slow from 3 till 9. And I've got 2 ovens. So it was 2 shoulders and a leg. The leg was beautifully cooked and looked a bit like Greek souvlaki or something. Anyway, it's very like the Greek dish and it kind of fell off the bone. And that was probably enough for about 10 people. But then the 2 shoulders were raw. Something had gone wrong with the cooker.
Goat sushi.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to magic
this leg into enough for 24 people. I'd done a celeriac and potato kind of puree, and I'd done green beans, so they got a lot of puree, tiny bit of green beans, and a sliver of meat.
Well, that's how they're saying we should be eating, just a tiny, tiny portion of it, and pack the veg on the plate. So you were doing a great service for
the moment
guests.
It came to me, there was none left.
Oh, no.
So what I did was I went up to this man who I'd given 3 slices to, because at the beginning I was overconfident, and I said, please, may I have one of your slices? He said, today I've just become a vegetarian. You can have my 3.
Today.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
So you turned him vegetarian.
Yeah.
In the face of goat.
Oh, also, can I just say, I also did a salsa verde.
Oh,
yes.
Lovely.
Which was really good, which was... I put it in the kind of blender, and it was about 3 handfuls of parsley, 1 handful of basil, loads of capers, olive oil, tons of garlic, lemon juice, and Dijon mustard, always together. You know, to be honest, it was like lamb, but it was like a kind of a weak version, a sad version of lamb, a kind of...
A pale.
And it was paler, and it wasn't as good. So I've still got a leg in the freezer, so I'm going to probably curry it. Yeah. Yeah,
curry
probably
goat.
Do. Yeah, I might look up a kind of real Jamaican recipe and it'd be really good. Anyway, so, but the dinner party was a great success.
Fantastic.
And James was really grateful, and I ordered a cake. I didn't cook a cake. It was, in fact, you ate it, didn't you?
Yes, I had a piece. It was delicious.
White and dark chocolate mousse cake from Patisserie Valerie.
I recommend it.
So we'll put pictures on the website of James' happy birthday. Right now, over to this week's guest. Let's find out about women in tech. Lisa Devaney is an author, PR and woman in tech, and a New Yorker living in London. Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So first of all, you want to talk about women in tech, and I've got a big question mark. What encompasses tech?
Well, tech can be everything from the back-end infrastructure, the stuff that's running the internet, like Cisco systems and big computer companies that get involved in that. Or it can be the apps in your phone. It can be a website that does something special. Tech is everywhere. Tech is our gadget, our smartphones, our tablets, our HDTV. Tech is in everything we're living in, so...
Yeah, but for everybody on the planet, whatever age as well. I mean, our children, you've got a 3-year-old. Is he into tech?
My son, 3-year-old son, Truman is his name, and he is crazy for his iPad. In fact, he's been featured by The Sun for being a toddler addicted to his iPad.
Are you ashamed of that, or are you for it because you're into tech?
I'm proud of it, and I'm also encouraging him to get into it from an early age. When he was 1 year old, he started using the iPad, and his first word, one of his first words was apps, apps, apps.
This is too much. I love it. So women in tech, are there many women in tech, and what sort of journey do they have?
Women in technology, we are here. They are everywhere, and they're not just the technical side, because I'm not necessarily the best technical person in the world, but I'm I'm here to support women who are doing the development, the apps development, the website development, the digital work. Especially in London, there is a strong, strong contingent of women in tech and all over the world.
Now, you live in Hackney and that's where your business is. That is that like the technical hub then for, you know, Britain, would you say?
Indeed, East London is pegged as a tech hotspot. You may have seen when the government actually unveiled their plans to turn East London into the new Silicon Valley. They went from calling it, the grassroots name was called Silicon Roundabout, but now it's kind of being commonly referred to as Tech City, which is the entire East London area from Shoreditch all the way out to Stratford.
What sort of person are these women geeks?
Well, I'm a bit of a closet geek myself. There are geeks among us, and I think there's geeks that are proud to be geeks. But again, there's women that are so fabulous and fashionable, they would knock you down when they walk into a boardroom.
Now, do they find, because it is a male-dominated world, I mean, most businesses are, and this business is, you know, how do they get on? Are they taken seriously?
They are challenged every day. And the women that are brave and standing up for themselves are becoming more and more vocal among themselves in certain areas, supporting each other with conferences, with, in particular, a strong list for women in technology called Ada's List, where women are supporting each other, networking, and making it easier to be in the tech world, in STEM, in any other areas of technology practice.
You're here because October the 14th is Ada Lovelace Day, and you just mentioned Ada's List. Who is Ada Lovelace? She sounds like a porn star to me.
Well, she, I believe it was 1842, and Ada was the world's first computer programmer, from what I understand.
Well, she was born in 1842.
Well, that's the year that she developed an analytical engine through doing some work with mathematics.
This is incredible. So she isn't a porn star. She's the first woman that ever invented a computer. Well, no, first person who invented a computer.
Programming language, I think, would be specific from
okay,
what I
now,
understand.
Yeah, you see, you're
not
good.
An
yeah.
Ada Lovelace expert, but definitely know that she was one of the leaders in some of the early thinking that got us to where we are today.
That's fabulous. And what's happening on the 14th then?
October 14th, Ada Lovelace Day was created a few years ago to basically give a big day to shout out for women in technology. So on Ada Lovelace Day, women around the world will start blogging and writing about their favorite women in technology or women in technology they admire, or sometimes just women in general. I mean, one year I wrote about Amelia Earhart because she's so inspiring to me. So it celebrates women through blogging. And then also, if you follow online, there's a hashtag ALD14 that will help you follow events and speaking engagements. You'll see it in the press. Every year it gets more and more support. And again, women, hundreds of women around the world will be contributing.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. Now tell us, how did you get into tech? Because you started off as a journalist. How did you go towards the kind of science area?
Well, I rocked up in, I believe it was 1997, after a career in journalism, and I got a job with a PR agency in then Silicon Alley, in the heart of where the dot-com scene was going on. I was actually working in lifestyle PR, and all around me, the internet was happening, and I went up to the heads of the agency I was working for and said, guys, I want to be in the web. I want to be in technology. I want to be sporting websites. This is where it's at. And they let me switch. So that was 1997, and off and on, I've been there ever since.
So you invented a new genre, which was PR for them. No one else had done that before.
I'm glad you asked that, Josephine, because I actually became known as a publicist in New York who was taking geek to chic.
Fabulous. So did you coin that expression?
Somebody labeled me as that, so I went with it. one of my bosses in the PR world, because I took a website that you may have heard of called Condé Nast, swoon.com, which was an early dating website, and I took it from the pages of the IT journals and the Kiki Press and Nothing But Tech, and I splashed them into People magazine and Rolling Stone. So
fabulous. So you still got, as well as being an author, which we'll talk about your book another time, thank you, Lisa. Let's just talk about, so you do PR for Women in Tech. Can you tell us some stories of women who are doing things in London, some personalities out there?
Oh, personalities I can tell you about, definitely. We've got, now these are some mates of mine as well as just people that I know. You have got Glenn Boddington. She is a futurologist. When you meet her, all you can think is sci-fi. She thinks so far ahead of her time that you've got to stop and listen very carefully to what she says, because you know, we're still here in the present. She runs something called Body Data Space. She's the creative director of Body Data Space, and she's an expert in how we move our bodies in virtual space. Ava Pascoe, who you may have heard of, she started the first internet cafe here in London called Siberia, and also is at the forefront with an organization called Cyber Salon and an expert in retail technology.
I love the sound of Cyber Salon. That's fabulous.
Yes, it's been around for many years, and it definitely represents the core of the London tech community in general.
Fabulous.
And then, yeah. Well, one other person I'll give a shout out for is Julia Shallett, who's the course director of something called the Mobile Academy, which is helping startups and entrepreneurs get up to speed in their businesses. So bringing up a lot of these tech startup stars, both men and women, it's an accredited program with UCL.
Brilliant. Little about you now. So you've told us about how you started Silicon Alley. But also, you say that you're a skateboarder. Tell us about that.
I am definitely a former, kind of retired, New York City skateboarder. And I was hardcore into skateboarding back in the 90s. I used to skateboard to work, to my PR job, which absolutely flipped the heads of the agencies out in a not so positive way sometimes. Until
so
then,
you were a skater girl.
I'm one of the original skater girls. Yeah, I was known as a skater girl in New York quite well. Seen going up and down St. Mark's Place on my vintage 1980s skateboard.
Is there a skater look? You know, did you wear skate shoes and stuff, or did you carry on being your glamorous self?
Well, among the skater girls, I was unpopular because I liked to wear glitter. A lot. Glitter and makeup. And I was one of the few girls wearing glitter and makeup while skateboarding.
Thank God for that, darling. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on Radio Gorgeous. Lisa Devaney, thank you so much for coming onto Radio Gorgeous. You've been fantastic today. And you've opened up our eyes, and minds particularly, to women in tech in London and globally.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa. For more details about women in tech, go to our website. Now, on the Times on Saturday, this article caught my eye because it was fashion for the over 40s. I thought, oh my God, at last I can find out how to be fashionable. And they interviewed the woman who's head of J. Crew. And as you know, J. Crew, I found out by reading the article, was some really crappy company in America doing kind of twin sets for old women on the internet. And now it's a sensation. Personally, I think it's too expensive. I mean, it is out of my remit. You know, it calls itself middle market, but all the items are like 250 quid, you know.
It didn't used to be. I mean, so that's they've gone freshly, up market. Yes, yeah, freshly yeah, gone up yeah. market.
They're price sensitive, as someone yes. told me. Now, Jenna Lyons is the woman that's turned it around. She's 6 foot tall. She's got black hair, straight back, massive dark glasses, and she is now in America called the Queen of Style. So I'm going to now find out whether you, Donna Freed,
uh-oh.
Can you hear the paper?
Russell.
Whether you break the rules or whether you stick to them. Now, the first thing she said was, don't wear Peter Pan collars.
I'm not a fan of Peter Pan College. Although I did tell you recently, I thought, well, you know, I have these hackneyed opinions. Maybe I should try Peter Pan College
again.
Well,
she says no way.
And I tried it, and it was horrible. And my husband said, yeah, don't ever try that again.
What's wrong with it over 40s at Peter Pan College, you think?
Well, do you remember Rebecca Brooks wearing a Peter Pan collar at her trial? It makes you look like a child. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. It makes you look like, you know?
The other thing she said was, don't wear the diamond or the pearl studs anymore. You've got to wear massive earrings. Okay, statement earrings. Let's look at your ears today. Yes, she's got statement earrings on. She said it's really important when you're over 40 to frame that face and anything extra you can have. She said pearls and diamonds are just boring. You know, she said have something big, have something flashy, have chandeliers. I mean, you've got quite minimal, but they're long silver with a drop on the end. But they are big, you know, they are a bit statementy. So well done.
I passed
the other
the first
thing
test.
She said was, which I bought some this summer, don't wear pumps. Now, I bought some pumps and I really like them by Block. That
what are pumps?
I love it. You don't know. They're just little flat shoes, you know. You don't know what they are.
Nor do I have any.
But I wore some. Remember, they're beige and white. And you said, you look cute in those. But I think, and I said, should I buy any for winter? You said, no. So
see?
I kind of got, yeah.
So there.
I tell you what they're useful for. They're useful for, because she said you've
dog
got.
Dog walking?
No, they're too smart for dog walking. I tell you what they're useful for. I now do what they do in America. I carry my stiletto or really high shoes in a bag to the event, and I wear my little ballerinas to walk in. So they're really useful for walking to the tube.
Yes, that's and that are flip-flops, I agree with. And
so she says, another thing she says, you can update your wardrobe. She says you can wear any clothes, but wear amazing shoes, you know. You don't have to splash out on them, because I don't spend a lot of money on shoes. I buy them from places like Zara, which always have really up-to-date shoes. So it doesn't matter. They're kind of 60 quid or 120 quid. That's not too much. You know, that's more in our budget. So you can get those amazing shoes and you can just wear quite a kind of conservative outfit in between. So if you've got the chandelier ears and the outrageous shoes. Now let's have a look at her shoes. The leopard print ankle, cowboy ankle boots, I'd
yes,
call
they
them.
Are. Yeah. So I think I pass.
Yeah, you pass. Fantastic. The other thing she says is, if you get a chance and your legs, and you've shaved your legs, flash a leg.
I do generally flash
not
a leg.
Not in tights, again. You know.
Yeah, no, I have been all summer long. I was very good about shaving my legs, and I did this morning as well, just in case. You want to wear that dress and you can get away with it. Oh, my God. I'm feeling really good. I'm passing so far.
Okay. Another thing is sunglasses. Again, you've got to have the most outrageous, brilliant sunglasses. And you've got to pay for them, you know. Like she says, shocking pink ones from Dior, you know, or something like, you know, big. I've got giant tortoiseshell ones by Tom Ford, you know, which have got wings on them, you know.
Yeah, you definitely need those. Yeah. And I can't wear cheap sunglasses anymore.
No, because they're uncomfortable, aren't
they? They're uncomfortable, or I get a rash from, like, whatever little metal bits sticking out
or
something.
Oh, that's such a good excuse,
darling.
Yeah,
exactly. So I have to wear, Chanel sunglasses. It's a must. Oh, my God, we're doing so well.
Yeah, the other thing she says is that you... this I don't know whether this is so me, but luxe trainers.
Not so much.
She says you can wear them if they've got like cashmere on them or real fur or Prada ones.
Or if like her, you're 6 foot tall.
Yeah. Like us, they'd stump us because we've got hips. So we just look like stocky, fat, middle-aged women as we are. okay. Now, another thing is... she says, if this autumn or this winter, fishnets are in.
Oh, great.
Small fishnets, though, not the big holes.
I have tons of fishnets.
Okay, so you can bring
them out
from years ago. Yep. They're back, okay? I've got really good news. Also, furry gilets. I've never put mine away because I am a bit of a Sloan Ranger in some ways. You can keep your furry gilet. You can keep it. Phew, I'm really pleased about that.
Don't have it. Don't care for the look.
She also says the right hair. Now, you're lucky. Your hair is naturally curly. It's, you know, it's got its own character. She says, whatever you do, don't have a straight bob.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, luckily I haven't got a straight bob.
You have more shape.
Yeah, I have a bit more shaped. In fact, I've let it grow.
Do you think this
bit.
Is a comment against Anna Wintour?
Yeah, I know. I did think that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it sounded a bit personal.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, and she also says, beware of helmet hair because you'll look like Hillary Clinton. But she says, another thing she says is, don't look too grungy, your hair. Mm. Don't do the Kate Moss and the Cara Delevingne, you know, the messy hair. Because she says you just look like a mad bag lady.
Yeah, young people look like they're fresh out of bed. You know, us, we look like we're fresh off the bathroom floor.
So how do we get the look of, you know, I've just blow dried, but I've got to let it be a tiny bit messy? I think the answer is layering, you know. Because if you have the perfect bob, you know, then you're going to look just too... Even though I think the perfect bob can look fabulous with a short fringe and strong glasses. I think it can look really fashion-y. So guess what, Jenna? I don't agree with you on that. What do you think? Do you agree or not agree with Jenna?
On that one, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
But also, you know, enough with these, you know, rules, yeah. Schmools.
Yeah, yeah. Rules will be broken. Exactly. That's what fashion is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And also she says one wow fashion thing. So we mustn't wear the head-to-toe fashion look, but we can wear, Russell, a black dress with a neon popsicle fur scarf slung over it, or a shrimpy fake fur coat, or a snake print jacket, or leather trousers and green heels. This is a hard one to call because not everything bold and fashion-forward is a good idea. Okay, but she also says things like, if you're going to get a bomber jacket, don't get a black one, get an olive green one. If you're going to wear a shirt, because white shirts are really in, get a cream one. And I've really noticed that. If I wear a white shirt now, it slightly makes me look older. Put on a cream one, it has a diffusing effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also you're not following, you're sort of updating and making the sort of thing that's for the young people just that little bit classier, a little bit better tailoring, better, more flattering colors.
Sounds like Radio Gorgeous all over. RadioGorgeous.com. Thank you so much for our guests coming on today. Thank you so much, Donna, today for coming on. Today's programme, Gorgeous Gossip, was produced by Josephine Pembroke and Donna Freed. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2014.